Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/F-as-in-Frank-R-E-E.
Hey, this is John Assraf, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So, good morning. It's Thursday, and you won't believe it. I'm actually in my car. I have a trailer on the back, a big, big trailer full of stuff I'm taking to the dump. So, I'm just so busy these last couple of days with the move, and my friend Mark, he's also my realtor. He's been a great friend of mine for many, many years. He's like, Dave, he says, you know what? You haven't got many pieces. I'll just bring a big van that I have, and we'll just do it together. And I'm thinking, all right, why not? What an idiot. We're climbing and, I mean, carrying. And it's so funny. One of my other friends, I invited three friends to help me. And one of them was kind of new in the group. Sean and Mark I've known for many, many years. So I'm going to dedicate the show to the three guys that helped me move yesterday. Sean, Mark, and Jason. And Jason was pretty new, and we were kind of laughing a little bit because Mark and I were laughing just because he said, you know, this is the way to build relationships. This is the way where guys become great friends is a day goofing around, carrying furniture, you know, laughing. We laughed so much yesterday. It was just crazy. And then, you know, we stopped for beer and pizza. Jen cooked us some pizza and had some beer. And then it got even sillier after that. But then Mike showed up, another buddy of ours. And not the normal Mike, a different Mike. And I was giving away things. It was like confetti. I gave away so many things yesterday. Yeah, you want it? Take it. You want it? Take it. Just sort of, again, in that sort of simplification process. But yeah, it's really funny, this whole guy thing, and how, you know, really sometimes the craziest or simplest of things can really build those guy relationships. And I know I do a lot for women on the show. And I think, you know, I didn't know what I was going to talk about when I pushed record, because I'm now driving through Kelowna. I don't have a tarp on my trailer, so I know that there's a good chance I'm going to get pulled over, because when you're taking stuff to the dump, you need to have it tarped. And unfortunately, my tarp is at the other house. But we were just so, so busy last night. I could hardly keep my eyes open last night. But this whole idea about guy time, you know, and building relationships with men, I do think, you know, another thing I do with my friend Mike, you know, we hunt. And I was a vegetarian for many, many years. And you may have all kinds of wiggly, squiggly thoughts around hunting. But truthfully, I've had some of my most fondest memories over the last few years since I started hunting. Again, that sort of time spent with guys. And, you know, in the truck, early in the morning, 4 o'clock, you know, hot chocolate in your hand, and telling stories and laughing. And really, that's what defines all of the things I do with my guy friends, is just laughter. You know, we laugh so much, and goofy jokes and silly things and, you know, nonsensical stuff. And I what I realize when I do my program Beyond Courage, which is I separate the men and women for a whole day. And it's incredible, you know, when you see a 70 or 65, 70-year-old man in tears saying, you know, since he got married, he really stopped hanging out with guys. And And I think that's where this duality comes from. I see a lot of men that are different in front of their wives as they are in front of their closest friends. And it happens with women, of course, too. But, you know, when you kind of have that time and when you can really show up authentically, I feel, when you're the same person, when you can say the same stuff in front of your guy friends as you can say in front of your girlfriend or wife, and I think, you know, maybe not everything. But no, I do. I always say that's what defines the relationship I have with Jen, is that there's no filter. I don't filter out things for her, especially. If I'm with my guy friends, I speak the same way as if she was there. But, you know, this idea then, the unquenchable need for men to get together and to hang out, and the same way that women do. But I think a lot of men do as they get married and start having kids, they neglect to sort of plan this time for men, this time to hang out, this time to do goofy things. So yesterday was very cathartic. It was a very beautiful part of the process. And I know my buddy Jason that was there often looked to me kind of like, why are you doing this? You could afford to get a mover. And I had already booked a mover. You know, I knew what it was going to cost. I had them all booked up. But I wouldn't trade it now. As I'm a bit sore this morning. You know, I staggered out of bed this morning, like, you know, feeling like, you know, I'd done a lot more lifting than I had for a while. And, you know, and then, of course, building beds when you get there and all the other stuff you have to do when you're moving house. I wouldn't trade it. And I realized this morning I've kind of got that afterglow of guy time, the afterglow of just hanging out all day long, laughing, joking, eating. We drank a few beers. We dropped off some stuff at one person's house. They gave us a beer. And then we're in the garage, you know. By the time you've moved a house and we've almost got everything out, I'm just picking up my art today and I'm going to store it at a friend's house for a couple of months until we finish our renovation. But it's really, this is even crazy, you know. I've got this beautiful art collection that I've bought over a lot of years. And some of the pieces are very rare. And the only thing left in the house is my art, and there's a key outside, you know, just hidden right outside the front door. And there's a painter in there because I really wanted to help the new people moving in, Sonia and Kevin. They're a beautiful couple. This is their first house they've ever bought, and it's a big place, you know, it's 12 acres, and I really wanted them to have a beautiful experience. So even though I hadn't moved out, I've had the painters in already because I think there's nothing better than a fresh start. You know, when you haven't got that sort of that feel of another family, even if the family were great, there's still a feel of them. There's nothing better than walk into this fresh start. So even though we were moving yesterday, we had the painters there, and I got the painter. You know, I got them the quote, and I started him, and so it's like he's working for me, but they're paying him. But it's just this wonderful, wonderful feeling, right? So again, the sort of the goofiness is the only thing left now in the house is this artwork everywhere, and with the key outside and people coming and going. I'm just an idiot sometimes. But but what I was going to say was, so the garage is just a big mess. You know, everything that's been dropped or dumped or left. So it just, like, I'm taking the trailer up there right now to sort of do a dump run. And as we sort of finalize this process. And because it's so personal, it would be easy to send somebody up there. But, you know, it's a personal experience when you're just getting rid of things and giving things away or selling them. It's very hard for somebody else to do that. And I've really, really enjoyed the process anyway. But we're sitting, we have four chairs, and we're sitting around in all this garbage, drinking a beer and just laughing. You know, this is just before our fourth run back to the other house. And the reason I'm saying, sharing this as I'm driving through town is I didn't want to miss the show this morning, and I didn't want to come in too late. And I thought, you know, what better way than to have you coming along this morning with me as I'm sort of finalizing this process. But then sort of the real lesson that I got from yesterday again, and I know this lesson, I know it deeply, I know it very, very well. It's a very simple lesson that we need to spend time with the opposite sex. The same sex and the opposite sex, but But I'm not talking about preferences here. I'm just talking about time, you know. It doesn't matter what your preferences are, but being with somebody of the opposite sex and the same sex is just a great experience, right? But this real, I think, I see it all the time. Women have their kids, you know, their husbands are working sometimes if they're a working mom, and they sort of become this slave to routine, and very seldom do they actually schedule themselves into their own calendar. They'll schedule everything else, soccer practice, everything else. And guys very rarely schedule in that guy time. And now there are other guys that's the only thing they schedule in. And I think there's a danger zone there as well, where, you know, you don't consider the family. And I suppose one of the lessons for that would be, you know, doing your calendar. If you do a 90-day calendar, and this is something I teach, especially, you know, I do a lot of work with network marketers, and you know, they're sort of trying to find time to build a part-time business so that they can create freedom for themselves. And what I'll teach them is this idea about, okay, well, just take it one of those great big calendars you can buy at Office Depot, where, you know, they're very large, and you see the big sort of days, and you're going to sort of do a 90-day plan for yourself. And the first thing you do is if you have, and these aren't in any particular order, so don't quote me that this has to be a priority, but there are a number of priorities. And the first priority would be this around faith. You know, let's say that, you know that every Sunday or every Saturday or whenever you practice your faith, that you have this time where you go and worship. Well, you'd put that in your calendar, and that would be a time that's a non-negotiable. And I think that these are non-negotiables that you'd have in your calendar, right? So you have your time with your church or your temple, or your synagogue, or whatever, however you practice, and that's written in the calendar. And then, you know, family time. There's family time that you are going to have dedicated in there. So that can include scheduling the kids' soccer practice, you know, ballet, all those kinds of things around family time. And that could also include scheduling time where you go and do something fun together. So, you know, maybe you're really a busy family and, you know, every 2 weeks you decide that you're going to do something. Like, we do paintball quite regularly with the kids, you know. I'll take them out, and I know it's one of those things to get muddy and dirty and you know, it's easy to miss that, but to sort of schedule in that time where you're going to go and do something goofy or adventurous or silly, where, you know, you just switch it off from the routine, otherwise it just gets crazy. So you have that time, you know. And it's really funny when another one is date night, you know, scheduling date night. So if you're, whether you're same-sex couples or whether you're couples who are heterosexual couples, you know, that you're going to actually put in the calendar. And I recommend once a week. Now, sometimes if you're really, really busy, once every 2 weeks, and then you can alternate who's going to choose the date. So, and sometimes it doesn't have to be expensive. If any of you sitting at home right now and you're like, oh, gosh, you know, I don't have the money or the time for that. Well, you know, a date night could be, you know, renting a movie and cuddling up on the couch, but actually knowing it's a date night, maybe having a bath together or, you know, lighting some candles and doing something a little bit special where you know, and it's distinguished as, this is our time together. What's interesting when people do family time, though, this is the bit that gets missed all the time, is the time for themselves. As far as, you know, a lot of women, they'll do their family, and they always think of kids. And sometimes it's easy to forget scheduling in the husband, you know, to say, okay, this is our time, this is our date night. And guys, the same thing, you know, when you're scheduling in family time, is really thinking about scheduling in your wife as a critical part of the family, because it's so easy to think when I say family, often it goes to all the kids, right? Anyway, so you've got your family time, you've got your faith, exercise. So you know that if you want to have a healthy life and a kick-ass life, you've probably got to schedule in some exercise, and so that's scheduled in. You know that it's going to be, what, 3 days a week or 4 days a week, and for some of you that are really busy, it means getting up a little earlier, and doing it early in the morning. Because that's the only time you have, but you're going to feel better, you're going to look better, you're going to look good in your summer thongs. All right, so you've got exercise, right? Then you have work time. There's time that you have for work. Where you actually, if you have a job or if you have a business, you know that there's so many hours. Now, business owners, it's very easy to never pay yourself. And that's why, you know, so many business owners, people want, about 76% of people want to be entrepreneurs, but they don't have the... some of the skills to really build a business. So they end up, you know, just becoming a slave to it. And if you've ever read a great book, if you're thinking about entrepreneurship, the E-Myth, which is the entrepreneurial myth by Gerber, is a great read, right? So then what you do is you would... So a lot of people, you know, they don't pay themselves in business and they don't have any time, any free time at all. So that's why I'm a big believer again in creating freedom around your business. Is, you know, you want to, if you are going to build a conventional business, you know what your exit strategy is, and that there's still free time to build in a calendar with your family, your faith, your exercise, so you're just not a slave to it. And if you are a slave to it and you're not making any money, maybe it's time to close it and do something else. I can't tell you how many people are just not happy. They still have the entrepreneurial dream inside of them, but they're just trapped in the wrong business. And Gerber talks about that a lot in his book. You know, he talks about, you know, the idea that in the book he uses the example of a woman who's amazing at baking pies. She's just the most amazing pie baker ever. So she's everyone keeps saying, oh, you know, you should open a pie shop. Your pies are so good. And she hears this for years, and finally she thinks, that's a great idea. I'm going to become a pie maker, because she loves making pies, right? So she opens a little shop up, and what happens? Well, first of all, you know, she has to spend time doing accounting, and then she has to spend time doing marketing, and then she has to spend time doing bookkeeping, and she has to spend time doing all these different things that are the things you need to do to run a conventional business. That's why I'm not a big believer in most people being in a conventional business, because they simply lack the skills. And we see this statistically. The data proves this, you know, with such a high rate of people failing in business in their first 5 years. Spirit's there, but the skills aren't there. So what ends up happening is this woman who owns the pie shop, she gets up early in the morning, she has to do inventory, okay? She has to do all these different things. And when it comes down to making pies, she ends up, starts off, makes her favorite pies. She's not very systemized, right? And then all these other things need to be done. Someone needs to clean the place. She doesn't have a budget for that. So she ends up cleaning it late at night as well, right? So now most of her time is spent doing things that she doesn't like. And the actual pie making, the things that she was really, really good at, in the end, she has to farm it out to bring somebody in, teach them how to do it, because she's so busy running the business and moves away from the thing she loved most, which is actually baking pies. That's the sort of story that he uses in the book, to illustrate what really happens, the entrepreneurial myth. That's why, again, I'm much more a lover of residual income building as opposed to building a business. I know very few business owners that are systemized to the point of freedom. Very few. I do know some, but very few. Here you go. So you've booked in your time, your work time's in your calendar now. So if you have a job, you know, you work from here to here. When you're driving, by the way, a good idea when you're driving is to turn your car into a university, where this is where you listen to podcasts. If you're commuting, this is where you're listening to other CDs or personal development. Or if you're building a network marketing business, this is when you can do calls. Or if you're doing, it's just a place where you can work. I always work in the car, like I'm doing right now. I'm actually driving up a beautiful hill right now, and I'm looking over these beautiful, gorgeous vineyards with mountains in the background, big white puffy clouds down onto Okanagan Lake. I'm up about, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000 feet maybe, and looking down across this unbelievable vista. But I'm actually recording a podcast that's going to be broadcast around the world in a few minutes, right? So we book in our time for work, okay? And here's the pieces that often get missed. So we've got exercise, we have faith, we have family, we have our work, and then what we're looking for is the space. Where's the space? Because if you are trapped in a conventional job, or J-O-B, which I like to call just over broke, you work just hard enough so you don't get fired, they pay you just enough so you won't quit, that kind of is the whole job scenario. we have your job or your business all allocated in there. We have, you know, time for learning, which I think is really critical, which again you can use if you're a commuter. If not, it's important to say, well, what am I going to spend? Even if you read one chapter a day of a positive book, or, you know, listen, if you're listening to this, you probably listen to podcasts regularly, and you know that how important that is to get good stuff in, right? Good stuff in, good stuff comes out. You know, our income can only grow to the extent we grow ourselves, so we continually grow ourselves, right? Anyway, so you've got all this scheduled in, and we're looking for this space now. What are we going to do with the space? Well, if you're looking for freedom, you're going to build some form of a business in the space, and a lot of my friends who have created freedom, they'll actually do it with 1 or 2 hours a day that they do in the evening after their kids are in bed, maybe even an hour, 4 days a week. That gives you 4 hours to build your freedom, and that's how you find the space, because most people say, well, I'm just too busy. That's not true. Most of us aren't too busy at all. There's actually a lot of space in there once we start looking for it and we allocate time. And the other bit I like to have in there, of course, is your time with, you know, even if it's once a month, you know, a day with the guys, day with the girls, or, you know, that's really important. And the other part that we want in is this time with self. When you do something alone, and it may be for a massage, or it may be just that time where you can really connect to self and be alone. So all these things can be scheduled. Now, I may have missed a couple of things. Listen, I'm driving a car through town. I'm just pulling up on my farm right now. So, you know, there's a very, very good chance that I may have missed one or two things, because I'm not sitting here. With sort of thinking it through. I just pulled up my wonderful gardener. People keep asking about is Jeremiah. He's just walking up to the car right now. Hey, Jeremiah, how are you?
Well, the water's a little less.
That rain was amazing, wasn't it?
Well, I made it in between the clouds to go out and backwash the pool. And
you made it in between the clouds. What are you doing, like a little dance?
Oh, no.
How you feeling? Feeling good?
Oh, yeah.
You're looking terrific.
Yeah, I'm getting this here. This is getting pretty.
I noticed you did the shed at the other house. Yeah. I went in there. I was going to go. I did doing a garbage run. And so I thought I'd go and collect all that wood. I walk in there. I thought, oh, Jeremiah's been here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. I try and split the days up in between.
Yeah.
Till after, or say.
Well, we should be out of here today. I think we'll have this whole thing unpacked by the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm
getting the painters. You see the painters in there. I thought I'd bring them in for these guys so they have a brand new house to come into. Be awesome, right?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, how's your plans going for your move up north?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, all the paperwork's in the mail.
Yeah?
So we're waiting to see when it comes.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't want you to go. I'm going to hide your mailbox.
I won't be far away anyway. And I'll be keeping an eye.
I know.
Because when you... And I'm and like I say, I'm fussy. I want a guy that can see something. He doesn't need to come. He just says, no, that doesn't look right. And fix it.
Right.
It look nice.
Hey, man. I don't, but there's no one going to replace you, you know that. I can't replace you.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take two guys to replace you.
Oh, I'll be always around.
Yeah. So you'll move up north again. Tell me about your land. How many acres is it?
5.6 acres.
5.6 acres, and you're going to build your own little cabin up there.
Yeah, I'm going to build one. Well, I'm going to make a guest cabin, too.
A guest cabin?
Well, yeah, so if you guys who decide you and Jam want to come up, and then...
But you're going to live in the trailer for how long? For your camper for...
Oh, until I build the house.
What, 1 year? 2 years?
No, maybe it won't even be that, I don't think.
Yeah?
And I'll have my chickens and everything else. So.
That's going to be awesome.
And then you guys can load up on vegetables, or when I bring them down here to some of them people, I'll just bring a load on down. Grow you some chicken. You like chicken, so you better have a freezer.
I'll buy a freezer because I'm visiting.
Yeah. I'll phone you ahead of time and tell you how much is coming down.
All right. Let me park up anyway. I'll see you in a sec. I'll come and talk to you.
Yeah.
If we got any garbage in the back there, we should grab it and throw it in here because I'm going to do a dump run. So anything in that back room there that we can pull out?
You just go back and we'll just...
All right. I'll go and have a look. Thanks, Jeremiah. Sorry, I wanted you to meet him. He is such a sweetheart. He's got no teeth, a bald head. He was a sea captain. He used to be a captain of these massive, great big oil liners, right? So these oil tankers, and, you know, he'd go across, you know, down the coast of Africa. And here he is. He's he just bought this old motorhome. He had a stroke, and he's just battling cancer right now. And he's just like fit. He lost a couple of hundred pounds, and you know, he was overweight for a while there, you know, because he was sedentary. And he's out there. He's just, you know, he's just a hard worker. And I pay him so much a month, and I think he does about 60 hours more than I pay him for. And I try and look after him, but what do? He's just always there. So anyway, just a beautiful human being, and that's what I mean. That's a guy thing. You know, I stand around and BS with him, and sometimes we'll just stand on the deck. He's just smiling at me right now. Sometimes we stand on the deck, and we just chat and talk. And I listen to his dreams and his goals and his stories and some of the stories of him, you know, sailing across the ocean in these massive oil tankers. And it's just awesome, awesome. So, you know, the big thing today then is really looking at our calendars and finding time for each other. And I think, you know, making sure that, you know, that we have guy time where, you know, and I know, Freddie, you listen to the show every night. And so, Freddie, it's like you're getting your butt on a plane and getting over to Kelowna and hanging out. This is my buddy Fred Waring. And you know, it's just saying, you know, it's important to make that time is to really, it pays such huge dividends. And so with Jason yesterday, the hidden component that probably he didn't realize what it was all about, of why we're carrying furniture out of my house into the other one, is to build relationships with these other guys and to really start that friendship rolling, because that's what it takes sometimes. It just takes rolling up your sleeves and helping each other out and having a good time. Now Jeremiah is just climbing in my trailer right here, and I think he's seen something he wants from the other house, the old sink. Every time he sees something, I think he's a bit of a hoarder. Every time he sees something, he's like, oh yeah, I'll have that. Anyway, I'm going to finish a little bit earlier because I can see Denise in the house. We've got painters here. Jeremiah's here. There's people everywhere right now. And what a beautiful thing to be able to sit here and do the show for you as I am right now and let you be a part of this day. And I feel, oh, look at that. He's just found an old light. Look at that. I can see him. This is so funny. I'm looking at him in the rearview mirror, and he's looking at this old light there that we took off the bathroom. And he's talking to himself. He always chats to himself. It's awesome. And he's looking at it. Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, I bet you money if I call him over, he likes it. Hold on, watch this. I'll invite you. Do you like that, Jeremiah? Do you like that?
No, I'm just looking at it. I'm always running things through my head.
I know, but you want it, or is it? No, I thought you wanted it. I saw you there, like a big smile on your face. Look at that.
Ding, lamp.
Lamp?
But I got enough junk.
You got enough junk? All right. Okay, I'll see you in a sec. All right, anyway, everyone, it's 26 minutes now. I've enjoyed riding with you. I got to get on. I got a busy, busy day. Hey, Terry. I'll see you on the other side. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook/The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @The Kick-Ass Life, and, of course, at thekickasslife.com.
That was kick-ass.